Well, we welcome you to Vacation Bible School Week. Gino Claire and Jason and Karen Smith, especially Gina and Karen, have done their magic again this year. If you haven't had a chance to walk the halls yet, do that and take a look at everything that they've done and accomplished, not only them, but all those workers who have worked so hard and putting everything together and working for such a long time to get it to where it is today. And also, you're going to be able again to see all the work that Dee Sandlin and Janie Slaughter have done with our scripts. And they're prodding and plotting and pushing those individuals that will be presenting those skits. And make sure that you're here tonight. We start about 5:15, and we'll have a potluck after the Vacation Bible School tonight. So make it a point to be with us starting at that time. I have one special announcement. Regina Ballantyne, who normally attends on second service, sent me a text this week asking if I had any interest in a book. And the book is the book of Josephus, or the book written by Josephus, who was a historian that lived during the time that the city of Jerusalem was destroyed in 70 A.D., This particular copy of Josephus was published in 1850. And if you have an interest in old books and do not have a copy of Josephus, or even if you have one, Regetta asked me if I would like to have it. I told her I already have multiple copies, didn't need it. And I said, but I can make an announcement, see if anyone is interested. And she said, sure, do that. So if you have an interest in that, let me know. Or if you know Regetta, see her. I'm positive it'll be first come, first serve, but if you would have an interest in that book, then she has one available, and you can talk with her about the details of getting that. Open your Bibles with me. Let's go to the book of Hebrews. What's Hebrews about? It's about Jesus. It's about showing the superiority of Jesus in every aspect. His is a greater sacrifice. He is a greater high priest. He is in a better place, sitting at the right hand of God. He is in the actual tabernacle of God, not one made by hands. But everything about Jesus, everything about what he has accomplished for our salvation, is greater and better, and the fulfillment of everything talked about under the law and in the law. Our Vacation Bible School this week is the overall theme of faith. And in particular, we're going to be looking at four individual events and individuals who had this faith in God. Tonight, we'll be talking about Noah. Tomorrow night, we'll be talking about Jonah. And then on Tuesday night, we will be talking about Peter walking on the water. And Wednesday night, did I get that right? Tonight, Sunday night, Monday night is Jonah. Tuesday night is Peter walking on the water, and Wednesday night is Jesus calming the storm. And so make your plans to be with us. Now, adult class Wednesday night, Melvin Ote will be back with us, and he will probably not stick with the Vacation Bible School theme. So Zach Steed, who is teaching Tuesday night, can do two lessons if he wishes to. I'll mention that to Zach when I see him, but I haven't seen him yet. But he has opportunity to do that if he would like. But I want you to open your Bibles with me to the book of Hebrews. And I want you to go to chapter 10, which was our reading. I want you to take a notice at two bookend verses. Two bookend verses that are on either side of the faith chapter, which is Hebrews chapter 11. One of these is Hebrews chapter 10, verses 36 through 39. And the second bookend is Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Hebrews chapter 11 talks about some of the characters in the Old Testament who exhibited the faith that we need to have in God, and gives us illustrations of what it means to have that faith and what it means to walk in that faith. But look at the verse that precedes it. In the book of Hebrews chapter 12, starting with verse 36, you have need of endurance. That means don't ever quit. Don't ever stop. Keep on going. You have need of endurance. So that when you have done the will of God, you can receive what's promised. For yet a little while, and the coming will come and will not delay. But my righteous one shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, if he stops having faith, if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed. But we are of those who have faith and preserve our souls. Now go to chapter 12, starting with verse 1. The second bookend says this. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, including these that we've talked about in chapter 11, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race which is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus is the focus of the book of Hebrews. So why these two verses on either side of chapter 11? It's helping us to know and understand that through faith in Jesus Christ, we become a part of this family of the faithful. We become a part of this family of the faithful that includes Abraham, that includes David, that includes Moses, that includes all of those that are listed in chapter 11 and more. And by our faith in Jesus Christ, we are included among that number of those who belong to Christ. We are those who are part of that family of faith. Having faith, like Abraham did. Having faith in God, like David did. And all of that is accomplished by our faith in Jesus Christ. Let's look at some things about faith that are talked about for us in the book of Hebrews chapter 11. Here's the definition of it. Faith. It means belief directed toward a person or a thing. Faith in God means faith that is, or belief that is directed toward God. Faith in Jesus means belief that is directed toward Jesus Christ. Specifically, it means confidence in. It means faith, trust, reliance on, commitment. All of those things are a part of what is meant by faith. The Bible will tell us in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, so faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So everything we're going to see in Hebrews chapter 11 has as its background this verse given by Paul in Romans chapter 10 verse 17. Faith comes by listening to what God has said. Faith comes by listening to the word of God. Therefore, everything that is going to be talked about with regard to faith has as its background knowing and understanding that we're listening to God. We put our trust in Him. Therefore, our faith means that we have assurance and confidence in things hoped for. Why? Because God is the one who told us they're coming. Because God is the one who's told us what we're going to have. And because we've listened to God about what is yet to come, eternal life, life with Him as children of His, all the promises that God has for us, that our sins will be remembered no more, that all of our sins are forgiven and all of our sins are wiped away by the blood of Jesus Christ. Every assurance and confidence we have is because God said so. And because we put our trust in God, and because we believe that what God has said is right and true, and it will happen just as God has said that it would, we have assurance. We have confidence. All of that is embedded in the idea of we have faith. It'd be kind of impossible to say, I have faith, I just don't have any assurance. I have faith, I just don't have any confidence in what God has told me. That's not having faith. Faith is the assurance. Faith is the confidence of the things that we hope for. It's the conviction or the assurance of the things that we haven't seen. I've never seen God, but I know He's there. I've never seen heaven, but I know it's there. I have never seen what it is like to look at me through the eyes of God, who is looking at me through the blood of Jesus Christ. Because when I look at me, I see a sinful person. I see an individual who has problems, who does things wrong on a regular basis. But when God looks at me through faith in Jesus Christ and through the blood of Jesus Christ, he sees a righteous person. And I have that conviction and that assurance of how God looks at me through my faith in what God has said, through my faith in what God has spoken. That's what faith is. It's the assurance and the conviction of things that we hope for and of things that we haven't seen as of yet. The Bible will tell us in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, this is what the ancients were commended for. Abraham wasn't commended because he had great intelligence. Abraham wasn't commended because he had great leadership qualities. Abraham wasn't commended because of all the physical attributes he was born with. Abraham was commended because he trusted God, because he believed what God said. David was considered a man after God's own heart because he put his trust in God. And even when he did wrong, he would allow God to correct him, and he would allow God to change him. Every individual talked about in Hebrews chapter 11 is commended not because of their standing in the world, but simply because they trusted God. They put their trust in exactly what God said and in who God was and in everything that God had spoken. Without this faith, without this trust in God, it is impossible to please him. It is impossible to be pleasing to God if I don't listen to him, if I don't trust him, if I don't believe what he says, and if I don't live my life in keeping with that belief. To come to him, to come to God, I must believe he exists. I must believe that he is, that he is the I am who lives because he lives. And I must believe that he rewards those who earnestly and diligently seek him by showing trust in him, by believing what he says, and by striving to be what God would have us to be. I must believe these two things, or I cannot please God at all. Doesn't matter how much I might do, how much I may do that I think God would be happy with. If I don't trust him, if I don't believe him, if I don't listen to him, if I don't have faith, it's impossible for me to be pleasing unto God. By faith, the Bible tells us, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. That's the NIV's translation. If you read from a different translation, such as the English Standard or the King James or the New American Standard, instead of at God's command, it will say word. But the Greek word for word in this verse is not the one we typically think of. In the beginning was the word. That's talking about Jesus. And the Greek word there is logos. That's not the Greek word here. And so the idea behind the translation of this Greek word is what God has spoken or what God commanded. And it goes right back to Genesis chapter 1, where the Bible will tell us, by faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command. What does that mean? God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God spoke everything into existence, so that everything that we see did not come from anything that we can see. Because it was spoken by God, coming out of his mouth as a command, and it came into existence so that we could see it. But it came from the invisible God who spoke all of these things into existence. Because he made them all, he's the ruler of it all. He is the one who rules everything that there is about this world, which is why it's impossible for us to please Him if we don't have faith. Faith. If you start in Hebrews chapter 11, and you start with about verse 3, we're going to look at the qualities and some of the things that are said in Hebrews 11. Faith will cause you to do the better thing. So Abel offered a better sacrifice. Abel offered a sacrifice more pleasing to God. Abel offered a sacrifice that was more in keeping with what God had commanded. And having faith will cause all of us to do the thing that is better. Having faith commends you as a righteous person. Abel offered the better sacrifice because he did what God said to do, and therefore God commended him as being righteous, and he commended his gift as being righteous. This idea of righteousness is exactly what Paul's talking about in Philippians chapter 3, verses 8 through 9. When he talks about wanting to appear before God and coming to know Jesus so that he could have a righteousness, not a righteousness that comes from the law, not a righteousness that comes from Paul's own goodness, but a righteousness that comes from faith in Jesus Christ. Because the righteousness of God is given to those who have faith in Jesus Christ. And so Abel's faith in God caused him to be commended by God as one that is righteous. And the whole reason he was commended as being righteous is because he trusted God. And he did the things God would have him to do. It will also cause God to speak well of you and well of what you do. That's what God did for Abel. That's why Cain got so mad. That's why Cain got so upset. Because God didn't speak well of him and did not speak well of his sacrifice. But he did speak well of his brother. And so Cain, in his anger, would eventually kill his brother Abel. God, though, spoke well of Abel because of his faith. Because he listened to what God said. And he did the things that God would have him to do. Faith will allow you to please God. It's actually in verse 5. But there it talks about Enoch, who walked with God and God took him. Because he pleased God. And the reason he pleased God is because he walked with God. And he walked in faith. And faith will always cause us to be pleasing to God. Faith will cause you to give careful heed to what God has said. And it will give you great care in following his instructions. That's Noah in verse 7. Noah did everything God said for him to do. In exactly the way God said to do it. And because of that, because he took great care in following God's instructions, and because he did exactly what God said to do in the way God said to do it, Noah is known as a man of faith, because that's what faith is. We listen to God, we pay attention to him, and we are careful to make sure that we do everything as God has described. Faith means you will trust and obey even when you don't know where it's taking you. Even when you don't know what it's going to mean for you. Even when you don't know where you're going. That's Abraham. Abraham put his trust in God. When God told him to go to a land, he went not knowing where he was going. Not knowing what it would mean. Not knowing what would happen. It's just God said to go, and so he went. And so faith will cause us to trust God and obey him. Do exactly what he says and the way he says to do it, even when we don't know what it's going to mean for us, even when we don't know what's going to happen to us as a result of it, because we do know what's going to happen to us as a result of following God. We just don't know necessarily the world's reactions to us. Faith will cause you to live your life for the unseen world which is coming instead of the world that you can see. And that's the way Abraham lived his life. He had no desire to return to his country because he looked for something even beyond where he was living. And he wasn't upset that he never received any of the land that God promised to him in that promised land, because he was looking for a different home. He was looking for something that was beyond this world, and he was looking for a home that was beyond this life. And because he had his focus on that unseen land, he's a man of faith. He put his trust in God's promises. And he put his trust in the world that God was going to give to him, rather than on the world that he was living in and the world that he saw. God says about that, living that way, living with my eyes on what God has promised, living with my eyes on the goal of heaven, living that way, God is not embarrassed by me. God is not ashamed of me. Living that way, God is not ashamed to be known as my God. He was not ashamed to be known as the God of Abraham. And that phrase fills the Bible, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. He was not afraid to be declared in knowing who he was to the children of Israel, I am the God of Abraham. I'm the God of Isaac. I'm the God of Jacob. He was not ashamed to have his name identified with them, because they lived this way in a life of faith and trusting God and looking forward to and toward all the things that God has to give. We're going to be talking about faith all week long. And Hebrews chapter 11 gives us the foundation for it and the start of it. So how are we living our lives? Trusting God? Trusting Jesus? Believing Him? Looking forward to all the things that He's promised and having assurance and confidence of every single one of them? Are you in Christ? Do you desire to be? And are you ready to be baptized into Christ? Do you need to come home to Christ? If you need to respond to His invitation, we offer that invitation to you as together we stand and as we sing.